If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We'll begin with verse 10. Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 10. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the Apostle Paul and the words that he has written and have been passed down to us today. We're thankful for his example of faithfulness and contentment in every circumstance. As we open your word today, may our hearts and our minds be open to you. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we are continuing the series, The Bible Doesn't Say That. Now, as I mentioned last week, there are many times I've read through the Bible and I've come through an event, I've come through a few scriptures, I've come through come to a certain section and I read through it and it's as if it's for the first time. I know I had read it several times before, but I just, for some reason, I didn't recall it in my memory. It didn't hit me at that time, something that was just speaking to me at that moment, or I just forgot. But that happens all the time. I don't remember that. I don't remember reading that. But there are often times when we hear people say things, quote, what they think is in the Bible, and in reality it isn't. Last week we looked at the phrase, God helps those who help themselves. And there are those who believe, a large number who believe that is in the Bible. Some have even said they think that's one of the Ten Commandments. But in reality, it's not in the Bible. What we discovered last week is God specializes in helping those who can't help themselves. Look at us. We have a sin problem that we cannot help ourselves with, so God stepped in through Jesus to help us. And He called the church to be the hands and feet of Jesus to help those in the world who can't help themselves. Well, today I want to look at the phrase, obedience always leads to financial blessing. Now listen to this description of the book, The Prayer of Jabez, by Dr. Bruce Wilkinson. Dr. Bruce Wilkinson, president of Walk Through the Bible Ministries, takes readers to 1 Chronicles 4:10 to discover how they can release God's miraculous power and experience the blessings God longs to give each of us. The life of Jabez, one of the Bible's most overlooked heroes of the faith, bursts from the unbroken pages of genealogies in an audacious four-part prayer that brings him an extraordinary measure of divine favor, anointing, and protection. Readers who commit to offering the same prayer on a regular basis will find themselves extravagantly blessed by God and agents of His miraculous power in everyday life. Now, Bruce Wilkinson does write and has other books that he has written of testimonies of where he has prayed for God to perform a miracle through him every day. And it's not a miracle like you and I might think, as Jesus performed miracles. He's not making the lame to walk, the blind to see, but He is encountering people that God has placed in His path to speak life into their lives, to share with them the message of Jesus. And He sees real transformation take place. Now He goes to 1 Chronicles 4:10, right in the midst of a genealogy of Israel. More than 500 names you can't even pronounce. And I know when I get the 1 Chronicles, I can get really bogged down and I skim through all these names. But right there is Jabez and his four-part prayer. that reads, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." So God granted him what he requested. Now, one of my good friends in Ohio, it was one of my workout buddies, about 12 to 15 years ago, we were working out and he was sharing with me this book, The Prayer of Jabez, and the prayer, and he was praying it every day. And I bought the book and I checked my shelves. I still have the book and I was skimming through it the other day. And he was telling me about having this difficulty in his life. He said, "I'm having struggles with my business, I'm struggles in my family, struggles with my personal health, and struggles here and there. I don't get it. I'm praying this prayer for God's blessing. I'm having all these struggles." And he told me, he said, "I was sharing with my mom how I don't get why I'm having all these trials in my life." And he said, "My mom asked me, 'Are you praying the prayer of Jabez?'" "Well, yes, Mom, I am." She said, "Well, that's it. You're praying for God's blessing on your life, but it always doesn't always come the way you want it." Have you ever been warned to pay for patience? The journey to receiving patience can be a difficult journey. So when you pray for patience, be careful what you pray for. Well, when you pray for God's blessing, be careful what you pray for. Because it may not come as you may expect it. It may come in trials that move you and stretch you. See, his mom was giving him the Romans 5, 3, and 4 principle. "Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that the suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope." You see, he prayed for God to enlarge his territory. And when you pray that prayer, "Lord, bless me indeed, enlarge my territory," it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get all these acres, more land, more wealth. It means God's going to stretch you. And he's going to move you. And he's going to make you stronger through trials. That doesn't always come that way, but it very well could come in that form. Now, as I mentioned, I do have the book, and there was a time when I'd pray that prayer, the prayer of Jabez, and I still do occasionally pray that prayer. But most of the time now, I just thank God. Thank you, God, for blessing me indeed. Thank you for expanding my territory, keeping your hand on me. Thank you for keeping me from evil. Because I believe praying that prayer has brought you into my life. You are a blessing. That now I know you by praying, "Lord, bless me indeed." And he has blessed me by being a part of Gethsemane Church of Christ. Blessings come in different packages. The expansion and the blessing doesn't include acres and acres of land, and it doesn't include a huge bank account. God's blessing may come in that way. He does bless some people with great wealth, and some of us couldn't handle it. Now, however, over the years there have been preachers who have profited from proclaiming what would be the health and wealth gospel. That God will promise wealth if you are obedient to Him. Just send our ministry a check for $19.99 and we'll send you this prayer cloth that has been prayed over for blessing upon blessing. God wants to increase your wealth. Your gift to our ministry will result in God's blessing on your life. The level of your gift will directly affect your level of blessing. Can you give $500, $10,000, $50,000? God wants to bless you in proportion to your faith and your gift. And there are many preachers out there that have promised, made the promise that if you give your life to Jesus today, you will be on the road to blessing. Prosperity, good health, and a comfortable life will come your way. And then when bankruptcy comes, or trial after trial, they give up because God didn't keep the promises that someone said was made to them. Now, as we ask this question, does obedience always lead to financial blessing? We discover that faith leads to contentment, not wealth. The Apostle Paul is a great example of faith. He wrote 13 of the New Testament books. Almost half of the 27 books in the New Testament come from the Apostle Paul. And so he is certainly a man that we can look up to in the faith. A man who, man, just think of all the copies of the New Testament, the Bible that have been sold. I wonder if he got all the royalties off of that. Man, what a wealthy guy. Well, in fact, Paul was not a wealthy guy. He went from country to country sharing the message of Jesus, and he was living off of the support of others that supported his work. And sometimes he was so poor he had to find a job or work along the way just to survive. But it wasn't always that way. His name used to be Saul. And as Saul, he was in the business of making a name for himself, of seeking recognition, status among the religious political elite. And Paul probably made pretty good money in pursuit of Christians to silence them and sometimes oversee their torture or deaths. That he was out capturing Christians. He probably received a pretty good paycheck, pretty good bounty as he was pursuing this recognition on his road to Damascus to capture more Christians, perhaps to bring them back with a pretty good payday. He encountered Jesus. A bright light came upon him. And I don't know what they were riding upon or if they were walking, but they immediately hit the ground. And those who were with Paul, they hid their faces from the light. It was so bright. And Saul heard this voice. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? I don't even know who you are, Lord. Who are you? He said, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. And the men that were with him, perhaps they heard the voice, but they couldn't understand. Maybe it was so majestic, so powerful that they couldn't bear to listen. What do you want me to do? Go to Damascus, and there it will be told you what to do. So Saul got up. His men helped him to Damascus. For 3 days he didn't eat. For 3 days he didn't drink anything. And Ananias came to him. Ananias placed his hands upon him and he received his sight. What do I do? Ananias said, God has called you to bear witness to what you have seen and heard. You are an eyewitness to the resurrected Lord. He came to you. He spoke to you. He is now calling you to go proclaim that to the nations. So, what are you waiting for? Get up. Be buried with Christ. Be immersed. Be baptized. Washing your sins away. Calling on the name of the Lord. And what did Saul do? He didn't go get something to eat. He didn't get something to drink. Before that, he immediately went and was baptized, calling on the name of the Lord, washing his sins away. And he became Paul. And now he is no longer pursuing a name for himself. But he was lifting up the name that was above every other name. He discovered contentment and peace. He realized the pursuit of wealth is a dangerous pursuit. 1 Timothy 6, 6-10, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. If anyone would have gained wealth by their faith, it would have been Paul. But instead he gained contentment. And he acknowledges there is great danger in pursuing wealth. Best friends, Brothers and sisters, parents and children, business partners, and even churches have split over money issues. I've seen it in my own family when my dad's mother passed away. My uncle and that part of the family became estranged from the rest of the family over a house. An inheritance can be very dangerous and divisive. Money can cause even the best of people to lose their minds. Money can cause even the best of people to lose all their senses. We were connected to a church in our history where one of the elders became so desperate financially, his wife didn't even know that he tried to rob a bank, an elder in a church. Connections to a church secretary in one of our churches in history embezzled money from the church. And on, we can list good people who got caught up in temptation and the lure of money, and it destroyed their lives. Look around us. The evil that is perpetrated, chasing after money. Now, those who pursue wealth walk a dangerous line. You and I have seen it in our lifetimes. The Apostle Paul saw it in his day. A rich man was determined to take his wealth with him. So as he was nearing the end of his life, he told his wife, "I want you to take all my money and I want you to put it in a bag. And I want you to hang it up in the attic in the house. And when the Lord comes for me and I ascend into heaven, I can grab that bag on the way." Well, after his death, she rushed up to the attic to see. But the bag of money was still there. She said, "I knew I should have put it in the basement." But you know what? If she had gone into the basement, it would have still been there. Because we come into the world with nothing and we'll leave with nothing. Now, there is nothing wrong with building and having wealth, as long as you understand the biblical principles for building wealth begin with giving. It begins with giving it away. There are biblical principles for building wealth, and not one of them is for selfish gain. Many fall into the trap, I'll be happy when I reach this job in my career path. I'll be happy when I drive this kind of car. I'll be happy when I have this house. I'll be happy when, and when they get there, they discover they're still not happy. They're still not content. Dave Ramsey teaches how to have financial peace. His motto is this: live and give like no one else, so one day you can live and give like no one else. But the very bottom line for building wealth is so that you can give like no one else. Malachi 3:10, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it." Now, why did God institute the tithe? Not because He needed our money, not because He needed us to fund His work, but He instituted the tithe to change us, to turn us into givers. And He also knows us to the point that where we spend our money, where we invest our money, that's where our heart is. Our heart follows. Where is your heart? Where do you invest? Where do you give? Luke 6:38, "Give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." You see, God loves to pour resources into givers so that they can give more away. The blessings are not always more money either. One thing for sure, you will overflow with blessing when you become a God kind of giver. Robert Le Tourneau, and I don't even know if I pronounce his name right, Robert Tourneau lived from 1888 to 1969. Robert Le Tourneau was an inventor. He had almost 300 patents to his name. And his primary inventions were in equipment for moving the earth, earth moving equipment, moving dirt, dozers and big equipment to dig dirt from the ground. He was years ahead of his time with his invention, sometimes decades ahead of his time. Literally, his equipment spread around the world from his factories, from his designs, and large earth-moving equipment today still holds designs and pieces that he had patented. He was a genius, an engineering genius. Literally, millions of dollars poured into his companies. And his name is well known among the manufacturers, among those around the world in the business of large equipment, machinery, tools for factories. But for 30 years, what many don't realize is for 30 years, he traveled the globe to proclaim the name of Jesus. That he gave away 90% of his salary plus profits. 90% of his profits. He gave it away. He gave it to the work of God's kingdom. He was a reverse tither. And God continued to pour blessing on him to overflowing, because he learned the key to building wealth is to first give it away. Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing our lives today with the cool morning, the coolness of the morning that was a blessing. The sunshine that rays over us is a blessing. The people we've been able to meet with today and worship are blessings. The friendships, blessings. The homes, the food on the table, blessings. We could spend all day naming the blessings that you've poured out on us just today. The air we breathe. So many things we take for granted. Blessings, we thank you. Father, may we not pursue selfish gain, but may we pursue contentment through Jesus. Saul was confronted with his own selfish pursuits. He was confronted with the fact that he was wrong, that he needed to make a change. And I pray where we have selfishness, where we pursue selfish gain, where there is lack of contentment, that you would confront us and produce change. Father, now during our time of decision, if there's one who needs to answer that same call that was placed upon Paul, what are you waiting for? Get up. Be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord, washing your sins away. I pray that you would move today in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a decision to make, why don't you come as we stand and as we sing.